1 Kings chapter 18 is the portion that we're going to look at tonight, at the latter part of the chapter. We're reading here about the aftermath of that great test that was given to the people of Israel. There was a contest between the prophets of Baal and the Lord's prophet, Elijah. We know how that ended. The prophets of Baal were confounded. They ended up actually losing their lives. It was a judicial punishment that was visited upon them. That's why they had their throats cut. That's why they were done away with. You wouldn't do that today in the New Testament, but they were under what was effectively a theocracy. It was God's law in that day that false prophets were to be dealt with. And that's what happened. And the Lord and his cause prevailed. The fire fell at Mount Carmel. And so in the aftermath of that, we see Elijah speaking to Ahab. 1 Kings 18, verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And the margin of this, you could read, or a sound of a noise of rain. Now at that very time, there was no outward noise. And we'll see that in a moment or two, why we know that was the case. So how could Elijah say there is a sound of a lot of rain falling when at that particular time there wasn't even a drop of rain falling? Well, very simply, Elijah said that in faith. When he said there is a sound of abundance of rain, he was listening with the ear of faith. This is what God was going to do. And so we don't always have to speak of something as having already happened. When we look by faith to see what's going to happen, we can speak of it as if it is already here. There's a sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, went to the summit of the mountain. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, that is Elijah said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, that's the servant said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And if we take our Bibles, keeping our finger there at 1 Kings 18, and turn to the New Testament, to the book of James, to the Epistle of James chapter 5, when the Lord is encouraging his people through James to pray, he says in verse 16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It does a lot of good, in other words. And then he says this, Elias, and of course it's the New Testament, it is English translated from the Greek, so that's why it doesn't say Elijah, which is from the Hebrew, it says Elias, but it's the same person. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again. And let me just tell you, verse 18 of James 5 is referring to the incident that we've just read about. That's what Elijah was doing when he cast himself down on the ground at Mount Carmel. He was praying. And we know that from this verse in the New Testament. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. When we've been speaking about prayer in recent weeks and months, we've referred to various texts of Scripture, various portions of Scripture that encourage us concerning the activity of prayer. You and I should never have to be told to pray. It comes naturally to the believer. We talk to the Lord. As someone once said, God doesn't have any dumb children. Every true child of God communes with God, his Heavenly Father, in prayer. But we do need to be encouraged to pray, because we get discouraged. We shouldn't, but in our fleshly humanness, in our sinfulness, we lose sight of truth and we get discouraged and we feel like, well, maybe prayer doesn't really do a whole lot. And then the Lord has to come to us again with a verse like that in James 5:16. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It actually does make a difference when we pray. And when we read that, it should encourage us to get down to prayer. And portions like this, where Elijah prays and the Lord answers prayer in a mighty way, ought to encourage us also to pray. Whenever James was talking about the efficacy, the effectual nature of prayer, he was led by the Holy Spirit to use Elias, as he calls him, as a great example of that. And in case you and I would think, well, that was Elijah, that's not me, he says quite clearly that Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. That's James chapter 5, verse 17. In other words, Elijah was just an ordinary human being like you and me. He ate and drank and slept and felt discouragement, felt encouragement. Sometimes he was happy, sometimes he was sad. Elijah was just like you are, just like I am. He wasn't a superhuman. He wasn't an angel come down into the earth. Now, why is that important? Because it reminds us that we too can pray. If Elijah could pray, and he was a man of like passions as we are, then that means that you can pray and I can pray, in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our difficulties, in spite of our sinfulness. We can pray. Of course, when we come to pray, we should be like John Newton, who said, "With this burden I begin, Lord, remove this load of sin." See, whenever you think to yourself, well, I can't pray because I'm too sinful, well, get that dealt with. Come to the Lord. Confess your sin. Lord, wash me in the blood. Cleanse my sins away. And then you're ready to pray. There's nothing between your soul and the Savior. There's nothing to hinder you praying. If you're not regarding iniquity in your heart, you want rid of your sin, you want it all to be cleansed away, then you can come, even though you feel weak and faithless, and you can pray. And God will answer prayer. Now, the interesting thing about this portion, among other things that I notice, is that it uses the word again. In verse 43, he said, "Go again seven times." When I say it uses this "go again," it's seven times it was spoken. Seven times Elijah said to the young man, "Go again." If that young man wasn't very physically fit beforehand, he would have been physically fit afterwards, because he was up and down that piece of the mountain seven different times. Elijah kept sending him. Why did he keep sending him? Well, because the Lord is stressing through this portion of Scripture that the intercession that is effectual is often persistent. Very rarely does the Lord give you what you need and what you ask for the first time you ask for it. I'm not saying that he doesn't do it ever, because there are times, frankly, when we need an answer right away, and the Lord gives us that answer right away. But there are other things for which we can wait, and the Lord makes us wait. There is a verse in Scripture which says, "Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you." Now, sometimes the Lord waits to be gracious, and while the Lord is waiting to be gracious, he causes us to wait. And we have to wait on the Lord, and to use Psalm 37, we have to wait patiently for him. That's what's happening here. But it's interesting as well to note that there are actually three different stages in the prayer and in the answer to prayer that the Lord gave to Elijah. Let's see, first of all, the commencement of the praying. So here we are in verse 42, when Ahab went up to eat and to drink, just like Elijah told him to do. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, that means he went to the summit of the mountain, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And we know from James chapter 5 what he was doing. He was praying. Now, when you're praying, you may find it actually physically difficult to put your head between your knees. I don't pray like that myself. I couldn't. I wouldn't be able to put my face between my knees. I'm not a contortionist. But I know that Elijah was prostrate before the Lord. He was down upon, you could say, all fours. And in that sense, he had his head bent right over so that his face was down between his knees. You don't have to pray like that. You don't have to take up a particular posture for God to hear you, but that's what he was doing. There he is, and he's praying. And he said to his servant, in verse 43, go up now, look toward the sea. Now, why did he want him to look toward the sea? Because he wanted him to be looking for the answer to his prayer. That's what it was. Elijah was praying for rain. He was praying for the abundance of rain to come. Just like he had said in verse 41 to Ahab, get up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. That's what Elijah expected. That's what he was praying for. Just because he knew that there was going to be an abundance of rain didn't mean that he didn't want to pray about it or that he didn't need to pray about it. He did need to pray about it. God has given us promises, and just because he's given us the promises, it doesn't mean that we can say, well, then it's all going to happen. We don't need to pray. We do need to pray. And here he is, and not only is he praying, but he's looking for the answer to his prayer. And you and I should be looking for answers to our prayers. But here's the commencement of prayer. And at the very beginning, when he went up, the servant in verse 43, and he looked, he said, there is nothing. And actually, if you look at your scripture there, your authorized version, you'll find that the words there is are in italics. That means there's no equivalent Hebrew word in the original here. These words have been put in by the translators to help with the sense of the sentence, to make it sound sensible when you read it. So basically, he went up and he looked and he said, nothing. Nothing. Zero. I can see nothing. All I see is blue sky. Nothing. No sign of an answer to prayer. That's the commencement. That's the report that was given. So, first of all, we can say when you pray, quite often, this is what you see. Nothing. Have you ever been there? I have. Many, many times. And I've prayed about something more than once, and I've looked more than once, and I've still had to say nothing. There's actually no sign of the answer. I can't see it. Visibly, there is nothing. But the question is, was that really the case, that there was nothing? Well, certainly there was nothing that could be seen. And there are times when we pray, and it's just like that. There are times when we pray, the Lord says yes, and quite quickly he gives us what we ask for. Sometimes he says no, and he has a reason for that as well. It's not in our best interest. But sometimes the Lord says wait. And I know that some of you may remember the song that we sang quite often in Sunday school. Sometimes God answers yes when I pray. Sometimes God answers no when I pray. Sometimes God answers wait when I pray. But I know God always answers when I pray. He does. He answers prayer. Sometimes he says wait. Now, when God says wait, does that mean our prayer is unanswered? Of course not. But it's just that the time has not come for him to give us that positive response. There is nothing. Here's Elijah. And on six occasions, he hears those words. There is nothing. See, I believe that every time that young man came down, he said, there's nothing. Verse 43 would indicate that, because at the end of the verse it tells us, and he, that's Elijah, said, go again 7 times. So you can imagine that the young man has gone up, back down, gone up, back down 6 times, and on each occasion he has said to Elijah, there is nothing. I don't know if he would have had the courage to say to his master, I'm fed up going up and down this hill and finding that there's nothing. He may not have said it, but he may have thought it. And if that had been me, I'd have been thinking that. I'm fed up going up and down this hill. There's nothing to see. But that doesn't mean that there was nothing coming. And here's the thing. When you hear that 6 times, there is nothing, it can either discourage you to the point where you stop praying, or you continue to be absolutely dependent upon the Lord. Because Elijah, after all, is leaning upon God's promise. He knows that there's a sound of abundance of rain by faith. He knows, as the hymn says, and by faith we can hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And so he keeps praying. If your prayer seems to go unanswered, I would encourage you to go on praying. And as you wait upon God, it honors him. It honors him. We can be like that widow with the unjust judge who continued to be persistent. There is nothing. That's the commencement. And very often that's the commencement for us as well. We're looking for an answer and there's nothing to see. But look at the second thing. Further on, there's the continuation. In verse 44, and it came to pass at the 7th time that he, that's the servant, said, behold, look, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Now, you'll know and I know that a little is better than nothing. Right? At the start, there is nothing. But now he says in verse 44, there's a little. There's a little. And a little bit of blessing, a little, seemingly little answer to prayer can be very encouraging, can't it? Because it keeps us praying. It encourages us. There ariseth a little cloud. Here's the continuation in prayer. He didn't quit. Even though there was nothing 6 times, he kept on going. And in the continuation, the Lord gave him a little sign of blessing. So here we have this. First of all, he looks and there's nothing. But further on, there's a little. That's the servant's description of the shape of that cloud. And it must have been very impressive for that young man after seeing nothing 6 times. There wouldn't have been any need for him to mention it if it didn't have an impression upon him. I believe that it was encouraging his heart. He looks, perhaps, and I'm guessing here, but he looks the 7th time and perhaps he's not expecting to see that little cloud. Because after all, he's been up and down there 6 times and it's just blue sky. But now he sees this small cloud. You know how it is sometimes that you could put your hand up and cover the sun? That's the way this was. When he said there's a cloud the size of a man's hand, that's what it looked like to him. And so he could have probably put his own hand up and covered it. The rest of the sky is blue. And if he took his hand away, then he sees that small black cloud there. What was that black cloud? It was a harbinger of blessing to come. It was a sign of blessing that was yet to come. And so it's a lesson here in continuance that we need to learn. Whatever are the delays, or the difficulties when we pray, or the disappointments when we pray, or the discouragements when we call upon the Lord, we're not to stop praying, but to keep going. Because sooner than you realize, there may arise in your sky a little cloud the size of a man's hand. Now, over and over again, the Lord taught us in the New Testament, as he did in Luke chapter 18, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We are to keep on. We're to keep at it. We're not to faint. Actually, that scripture, I remember looking at it in the original, and the thought there in those words, not to faint, is really the best description of it would be to cave in. Men ought always to pray and not to cave in. And that can happen to us where we just give up. We give up hope altogether and we think, well, nothing's going to happen, nothing is happening, so therefore nothing will happen, and we stop. And the Lord's encouraging us in Luke chapter 18, even in the parable there of the widow and the unjust judge, to keep on. Don't quit. Don't stop. Because God answers prayer. The Lord did the same thing in the parable of the friend at midnight. We've often looked at that. Luke chapter 11. And you have those words, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Remember the parable there. There's the friend that comes at midnight, an unearthly hour of the night, very inconvenient for the one who's inside. He says, look, lend me 3 loaves. And the one on the inside doesn't get up because he really wants to get up. But it's because the man on the outside is persistent. He keeps on knocking, and so he gets up. And he answers him. And what's the lesson? Well, it's very simple. Don't stop praying. Because sooner or later, our great friend is going to send us the answer that we need. We have to keep on in prayer. That's what the little cloud is signifying. The importance of continuance in prayer. Not quitting, not stopping, keeping on seeking, knocking, and asking. But as well as it telling us here that there was the commencement, and there was, first of all, nothing. There was a look, and there was nothing. Then there was a little further on in the continuation. You have also then the conclusion or the completion. And here we have a different word used in verse 45, and it's the word great. Do you notice the contrast? I'd never seen this before until looking at this portion again. In verse 43, you have the word nothing. In verse 44, you have the word little. And in the verse 45, you have the word great. And there's a lot of difference between those. From nothing to great, in between, there's little. And don't we desire the Lord to give us a little blessing? Yes, a little reviving in our bondage, perhaps. But that's not where we want to stop. We want the Lord to give us great blessings. We want there to be great answers to prayer. And this was a great answer to prayer. You could say it began with a look, and there was, first of all, nothing. Then there was a little further on. And then you have a lot. Finally, there was a lot. There was a great rain. This is the conclusion. After 3 years of drought, a little would not really satisfy the need, would it? They needed great blessing. And I believe we need today in the Church of Jesus Christ great blessing. We need to see a great move of God. The spiritual need all around us is great. Therefore, we need a great blessing from God. There's so many things that we could list as marks of our day and age. But there's been a tremendous disintegration of morality. We have a country where people hardly know right from wrong, and people act like dogs in the street when it comes to human relationships. You see a dog going about, an old dog in heat, and how does he behave? That's what happens with a lot of human beings today. That's the kind of behavior that we see. They behave like animals, or worse than animals. What's the answer to that? How are we going to see this wickedness overturned that we see all around us in the world? The nonsense of gender fluidity and all that stuff. You don't need me to tell you how bad it is. The desecration of God's day, even among Christians. There's a lot of Christians who don't even seem to know how to keep the Lord's day holy. They don't even seem to know that it is a different day. The disregard of God's word, the unbelief, the atheism. By the way, the National Atheist Day is coming up on Sunday. It is. April Fool's Day. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. I had you there for a minute, didn't I? I had you there. That's the annual atheist holiday. I like to tell people that. I actually told a guy on social media just yesterday that very thing. He was making fun of God and of the things of God. I said, just wait a few days. Your day's coming up. Your annual holiday is next Sunday. And he was wondering what I was talking about. He said, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. That's the National Atheist Day, All Fool's Day. It's true. Oh, you shouldn't make fun of these poor sinners. Well, Elijah did. You read this passage in 1 Kings 18. You know what he did when the prophets of Baal were over there doing all their stuff? He was laughing at them. Making fun. Oh, your God isn't listening to you. He's away hunting. He's on a journey. Anything that people laugh at, they will never worship. I know that people could see the folly of atheism and unbelief, but that's another story. Back to this, there was a lot of rain that came. And we need a lot of blessing from the Lord today. The Bible says in Psalm 85 and verse 6, the prayer of the psalmist was, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? We need to see revival in our day. God is able to give it. You know, sometimes our praying is very limited. It's very small because we're not asking the Lord for much. We're actually asking the Lord for a little. And it's good to have a little, but it's better to have a lot. And when we have a little blessing, hopefully that will lead on to a lot of blessing. We don't just want to be rejoicing in the cloud the size of a man's hand. Say, one person gets saved. We should be desiring to see a great deluge of the Lord's blessing. One thing the Bible tells us more than once is that the Lord is great. God is great. The works of the Lord are great, it says in Psalm 111, verse 2. So we're not to rest content with just a few drops of blessing. We should be looking for the showers. That's how the hymn puts it. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Whenever there's been a great drought or there's been a famine, it's nice to see any rain at all. Even a few big drops that fall from the sky, but that's not where you want it to end. And I can recall, I believe it was the first summer after we had just moved over here, we had one of those Pennsylvania droughts, you know, one of those that come and it's like it's never going to rain. And we were really worried because we have a well at our house and we had no frame of reference for that. I'd never had to deal with that in my life. We always had city water and public sewer and all that. So I thought, well, what if this well dries up? We're not going to have any water. We're not going to have any bathrooms to use. This is not good. And you could see the big cracks opening up in the ground in our yard. And you're thinking, wow, when's it ever going to rain? And I remember this one day, the whole of the sky was covered in black clouds. I thought, oh, wonderful, it's going to rain. Now guess what happened? I remember feeling a few big, you know those big drops that come down? I felt a few of those, and then it all just passed over, and it never rained. And I thought, oh no, how disappointed I was. And I remember saying, Lord, if it ever rains here again, and there's rain, 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 and more rain, I'm not going to complain. Now, I've been this close to complaining, but I've thought of that many times. I'm not going to complain. Why is that such a great thing? when a lot of rain falls, because there hasn't been any. And when it comes, it's all the more wonderful. You know what it's like when it's been really dry and there is a deluge of rain? Oh, the smell is wonderful. It just smells so wonderful. And it feels so wonderful. And there are times, I remember one time in Iowa where it gets really hot and really humid. My wife went outside when it was lashing with rain and just stood and let the rain fall on her. It just felt so good. It was warm rain. This is the situation that Elijah and them were in at that particular time. And it says in verse 45, it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. So there's not just a cloud the size of a man's hand, but the whole heaven is covered in black clouds, and there's a wind blowing, and there was a great rain. It was a great rain. Who wants the droppings when the showers are to be had? We need the showers of blessing. And in order that we might have those showers of blessing, we have to keep on in prayer. We have to be persistent. We have to keep on praying. Think about this as we close. What if Elijah had given up? Just suppose he had allowed those six occasions when the young man said, "There's nothing," to discourage him into thinking, "It's no good praying for rain anymore. It's not going to happen." Well, maybe it's the sixth time for us praying for something. We have to go on to the seventh. The Lord is able to answer prayer. He promised in a different context, of course, in Malachi chapter 3, that when the people would bring the tithes into the storehouse, that he would pour out a blessing. He would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there would not be room enough to receive it. And that's what we need to see today. The windows of heaven opened and such blessing poured out that there would not be room enough to receive it. God is able, but we have to go again seven times. We have to keep on. So may the Lord encourage us with that, that we might see what Elijah saw in answer to his prayer, a tremendous deluge of blessing, the Lord pouring out of his spirit, so that we don't just rejoice in a little cloud and what that would represent by way of rain, but that we would rejoice that the heaven is black with clouds and there's a great rain. May the Lord give that to us for his glory. Amen.